Hi, everybody, and welcome to 100 Year Real Estate Investor. We're your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is a show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing great today. How you doing, bro?
Always making it happen, big man. Today's guest is coming full circle after first meeting the G-Dad while working in the restaurant 20 years ago. And Gino's getting nervous over there. He's like, oh, shit, the skeletons are coming out.
Stenzi, I got real quick. I just have to interrupt you for a second. Do you know what I just ate 10 minutes ago? My kids made it for me. I made millions of dollars on this chicken Frances. I just had chicken Frances, dude. It was unbelievable. They put the capers. I would like a little capers in there, but yeah. Stenzi.
And then Get that salt going, baby. Get that salt going.
It was delish, man. Let me tell you, good job. Brings back memories, Jake.
Sounds good. So, hey, he has been working in the finance industry for 13 years since leaving the G-Dad at the restaurant. He just poofed and left him. And he's going to bring us some perspective on whole life from a financial lens. So without further ado, Devin Sessa, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you? Thank you so much, Jake, Gino. I am honored. I am honored to be here. I have been following your content. And if you didn't hear, right, 20 years ago, I worked for Gino and his family. By the way, you guys made like the best penny vodka. That's always my judge on how a restaurant is best penny vodka.
You need to blend it with the chicky parm. I keep coming back to the chicky parm. You have to get the red and the white mixed together sometimes. So, hey, before we get this thing started, I want to know what Gino was like when you first met him, because when I first met him, he was like the ogre in the back like this. So how was it working for the G-Dad back in the day?
Listen, I was probably around 16 years old. It was one of my first jobs in high school. Gino was focused, in my opinion, right? So I didn't have a lot.
Give us the real, man. You're trying to be nice here. Tell us what's going
on. You could say it was a dick. I might have been a dick. Okay, let's go there. You know, it's one of those things where our perception of who we are changes what we do. My perception of myself is I had to be this tough boss. I had to do everything myself. I was the I'm a mentality. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm stuck in the kitchen. I'm washing the dishes. And thankfully, I grew out of that. I met the guy in the pink over there and he saved me from that. But well, salmon pink. I see what I'm saying. Devin, I remember you working. You're a hard worker. I loved working.
You got a lot of finishedness, man. You just cut him off. We got focused, man. We gotta get a little more than that. Come on.
I'll let him finish. But what I like to say is, you know, looking back on all those years, we always hate on the teenagers and the young adults. I had an amazing group of young adults and teenagers working at the restaurant. That's one of the highlights that I remember, seeing all these young kids coming through, growing up and becoming successful, going to college and graduating and carrying on. So it wasn't all bad. I always joke about how bad it was, but there were so many great parts to it. So Devin, continue
finish
to crucify me.
Finish the roast,
bro.
All right, so I do say he was focused. I didn't interact with him so much. I used to interact with Marco a little bit more and their mom as well. I do remember some of the people working there kind of saying, man, they're so, yeah, they weren't nice at times, right? The people who run the place, they have to run a business. Like, what do you mean? They ask you to pick up something off the floor because they have a clean restaurant that they want to run. And I never had an issue with that. I always respected hard work. I think my parents, are because of that. And I noticed that restaurant had a good family feel, but they were hard workers at the same time. I feel like I probably did get yelled at Gino maybe once or twice for taking a break or something like that. But it was all good. You know, listen,
makes you tough. That's what you need, right? When you're your kid. So it's good.
One time I took a break to go talk to a girl and he didn't know who I was talking to, but he came outside. I said, what are you doing? We're overwhelmed in here. You can't take a break. And then I went back inside and I didn't take any more breaks.
Did you get the digits at least? No, it was good. Close. Did you get the number when you're out there? That's what I want to know. When you're out there, did you get the number?
Of course.
Okay. It all worked out then. You learned a little discipline and you got it. So, okay. All right. Gino, take it away here.
Let's get focused now on, you know, the financial services industry. 2 years out of college, you start going to work with your brother. First of all, how did you get introduced to it? You gave me the story before you got on. Your brother throws you this product. You don't even know it. Same thing sort of happened to me when I'm 30 years old. Somebody tells me to do this. I do it because I listen and I respect the person. How did you get into the whole life? And, you know, what did you really, I mean, now that you've been doing it for a while, what do you really like about it?
Yeah, so I didn't go into the financial services industry immediately. I actually went and taught martial arts. And after a year of working, I asked my brother, I said, hey, I'm starting to make money. Like, shouldn't I do something with it? And he hadn't told me to do anything with it before. But what did I do? I always look at people I admire, respect, and I think are doing well. I look at what successful people are doing because I am someone who's always striving for success. And I think we should all be students. So I looked at my brother and how his lifestyle was. I knew what he put on the outside and I knew the background stories, right? I saw the real deal. and he seemed to be doing pretty well. So I said, shouldn't I do something with money? And he said, yeah, how much you making? How much could you save? Those were like the only questions he asked, right? I wasn't making much money, but I could save, you know, I was saving and I had a savings mentality at the time. And I still do. I think it's important. And I think that's what successful people do. They systematically put money aside, right? That's what all successful people do. I don't care what entrepreneurial book you read, they're all going to say that to some extent. The vehicle they save into might differ from time to time, but they all do it systematically. Mm-hmm. And so I spoke to him and he said, all right, how much you got? Here, this is what we're going to put away. We just figured out what could I do on a monthly basis. And all of a sudden I had a whole life policy. You know that I didn't even know I was taking out an insurance policy. All of a sudden somebody called and said, you have to get blood. I didn't even know what I'm doing. And he said, yeah, it's for an insurance thing. Said, all right. And all of a sudden I'm putting money into a whole life policy for years and years and years, not really knowing what it is, but just trusting that my brother was guiding me in the right direction. That's the reason I took that first step.
This sounds like Marco and Gino over here.
It really is. It's to a T, because us older brothers know we love our younger brothers. We've done it before. And what David said is important, everybody. We're saving. He's saving to put money and invest in an asset. That's what we're doing. We're not saving for an event. We're saving for an asset so we can go out and purchase more assets. That's the key, everybody. And having that forced savings in the beginning, to me, Jake, honestly, that whole life policy felt like an expense to me. I'm writing out these checks. Money's going into a bottomless pit. I'm not seeing any money there. The policies back in the day weren't specially designed like they are now, so the cash value didn't grow as quickly. But I just knew, I trusted my friend. And after 4 or 5 years, I'm like, wow, this thing is pretty cool. I've got death benefits. I've got cash value. I've got protection, cash management play, all these benefits. And Davin, when did the light bulb go off? When did you get into the industry with your brother?
I joined probably right at the end of 08, right? So when the financial world went into crisis, I was kind of going the opposite direction, apparently, fighting against the norms here, right? So that's when I first started getting in. And I remember sitting in my firm, and there was people asking, like, so who utilizes, you know, different products for their financial planning? Who utilizes insurance? Who has whole life? And I was 24 at the time, years old, and I had it. But there were people in there who, like,
who the hell is this guy?
30, 40, 50 years old.
I got it, but I don't know what it is. I just put money into it every month because Big Bro told me to.
I have it. I don't even know what it does, but I have it. And other people, 30, 40, 50, you know, years old, starting either their first career or second career, they didn't have it, and they felt that they wanted to get it. And I was like, all right, I guess I was onto something a couple of years ago. So that, again, was my first realization that I was into something good. And I saw, again, I've been listening and studying people who utilizes whole life. And I'm noticing a lot of people who I would perceive as successful, they happen to have it. Mm-hmm. Is that just a coincidence? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. So what are the
coincidence that people with money tend to own whole life? Some of the people without money tend to not and hate. Just saying. A little, you know, kind of call it, what do they say? Follow the money? Mm-hmm. Follow the money. Just saying.
You know? So, David, give me some of the benefits that you've seen from your policy over the past, you know, 10, 15 years, how you've utilized your policy.
Yeah, no problem. I'm happy to share that. So one of the things I saw, and a lot of stuff from a planning perspective, an overall financial planning perspective, a lot of stuff that we've been preaching, teaching, and coaching people in, a lot of it was highlighted in the last couple of years when COVID hit, right? So when COVID hit and the markets were tanking for quite a while, and people were looking on the news and seeing terrible news. Oh, what does that mean financially? Then they were opening up their qualified retirement accounts, their investment accounts. They were seeing everything go down. You know what I spent probably 6 months doing straight? Calling all clients saying, hey, by the way, how you doing? Just as a mental check-in. Just want to let you know we're still here. And by the way, your whole life account has actually been increasing in value this entire time. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think
that feels
they
good.
Knew that.
Yes. That feels
they
good though, that. Right? Yeah.
They knew that, but they wanted to hear it again. I think it was comforting to actually hear some good news, because we were just bombarded with negative news everywhere. And so me saying, hey, by the way, everything's tanking, but your account is going up and you have an uncorrelated asset always set to grow. It's by contract and by design. Mm-hmm. And now are you happy you have this, right? And some people had questions, just like me. Maybe they didn't know why they had it, right? Mm-hmm. Some people were questioning it. And then they're saying, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful. Thank you for calling me. I forgot. Like, I remember you saying it, but now it's settling in. And they could see it too. It's verifiable. Hey, log into your account. You didn't lose any money. It only went up.
What are some of the objections you get from people who, you know, when they hear you say whole life, it's just not for me?
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Gino, I'll give you $1 million policy of life insurance because you think life insurance is important, right? Would you like to spend $1,000 on it per year, or would you like to spend $20,000 on it per year?
I'd love to spend $1,000 a year, right?
Of course, right? But you get what you pay for, just like anything. And I always ask people the same thing. I ask them just like that. And I say, it's like buying, I don't know, a house, right? You can get a house for, well, it depends on where you live, right? But you can get a house for, $100,000, or you can get a house for $1 million. Are they the same house? Probably, probably not, right? You get what you pay for. And so
I want to step in for a second here, though, because I think it's deeper and different than that. And I'm gonna take like the TNT and blow this up right now.
Whew.
I think it's the difference between buying and renting, if we're going to really get down to it, because you can come in and can rent a term policy for 10 years. Okay. You can put the money in for $1,000 a year. You can rent that policy for 10 years, or you can buy whole life for life. Just like you're buying a house, amortize that sucker out, and you will be left with something to show for it. Versus at the end of your rental agreement, essentially what we're talking about with term, there's an option. Do you want to re-up at a higher rate, which is very similar to renting, or do you want to set that amortization schedule and get it pulled through? That's the difference that I think people are missing here, is that we call it term and burn, because ultimately you're going to have it for a little bit. And then if you get a life event, you may not be qualified to get it again. It may expire, where we can set whole life for life and forget it. That's the only difference I see between the house on house comparison there.
Well, and it also goes even a little bit deeper. So those are excellent
points. Let's keep digging, brother.
It even goes deeper, right? So I think it really comes down to what's your mindset.
Yeah.
Right. So many people have a scarcity mindset versus the abundance mindset. I'm sure you guys have studied a bit about that and talked about
it. We're in the next book, right, Gino?
Yes, we are. Do the mindset book, bro. Yes. Oh, yes, we are.
There's a book that's coming out on Eduardo
Brisenis was the case study for Carol Dweck's book, Mindset. Eduardo is out and he's writing his own book. It's about learning zone and performance zone, and it's on mindset. And he's using Jake and Gino in chapter one as a case study for, listen, 18 months to get a deal. That takes a lot of growth mindset, a lot of punches in the gut, a lot of y'all ain't doing business down here. And it really is about the abundance versus scarcity. I had the scarcity mindset years and years ago. I grew out of it. So
sorry to rabbit trail on you there.
Yeah. No, it's all good. But I do think so much comes down to mindset, right? And then when it comes to your money mindset, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about short term, intermediate term, or long term? No, when you guys, the 100 real estate mindset, right? Like that's clearly a longer term mindset. Most people are thinking, right? People go out and get a car, or they get a house. They go to their property and casualty person. They say, hey, listen, I'm buying, you know, this car or this house. I need insurance. Give me what you can get. And what are they looking for? They're literally only looking for that cost, right? Because I just need it now so that I can legally have this item now, right? And people do that with insurance, and they rope the life insurance into all other kinds of insurance, which kind of has a bad rap a lot of times, right?
Insurance.
And except when you need it. Then it's a good thing.
Why is it cheap?
Because
it doesn't pay out.
That's correct. Right.
It's cheap because you will never use it. Yes.
Yes.
The odds are in their favor. It is verified.
Yes. This is the house. Anywhere, right? You're in Vegas right now, and you are not going to win, my friend. Mm-hmm. You don't want to win, right? The goal is not to die, right? <It's> like, but I'm just saying, like, at least bet on the whole life where you're going to get something at the back end, or at least your family will, if that's important to you. We have long-term mindsets. Our family is very important to us. We want to leave a legacy. That's why whole life. It's that simple.
Yeah. And I think Jake and Davin, what you've been saying in the beginning, Jake, when we call it personal financial engineering, this is not something you're just going to figure out one day and say, I need this. You really need to create a plan for yourself and really think whatever you're doing right now is going to affect your kids and your grandkids. So start planning now for the long term and incorporate this as part of that piece of that financial planning. Because, you know, as I was telling Davin, a lot of our community members and a lot of people out there, all they're doing is chasing yield. They're putting too much of their dollars at risk. We need to have a certain amount of our dollars. And what Davin said in the beginning, in COVID, did you have an emergency fund? Did you have a CapEx account? We have CapEx accounts and emergency funds in all of our businesses. That money is set aside there to see if something happens. Do you have one personally? One of the only things I agree with with Dave Ramsey is you should have an emergency fund set aside and 3 to 6 months set aside, possibly even a year if you can set aside. What better place to have it than a whole life policy with cash value? You could utilize that money as collateral, and you can pull that money out whenever you need it. You get a couple of days barrier.
And your family's protected on the back end.
Exactly. So it just makes total sense for everybody out there. Davin, any other benefits?
Liquidity matters, right? So people will put fund money,
especially for real estate investors, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And they'll boost them up. And that's the only place they're saving. And then if they do have an emergency, they really don't have any, mm-hmm. right? So with the whole life, you do have the access. You do have flexibility there. Liquidity matters, right? I've told people this. I don't care if you're getting 10% rate of return every single year on your investment. I think we'll celebrate and maybe we'll go out for drinks. That'd be awesome. But you know what? We know anybody who, you don't even have to be in the financial industry to draw what the stock market looks like, right? Up, down. We know it goes up and down, right? So if you're getting 10%, 10%, 10%, 20%, I don't care, whatever you're getting. And then all of a sudden it comes down. Now what? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And
so what's the biggest issue with real estate, guys? What's the biggest issue with real estate? Biggest problem? It's illiquid. That's the biggest thing. So this is why this pairs so nicely with the real estate investor, because it gives you that forced savings, it gives you that liquidity when needed, and it gives you the optionality to pull from it and put it into an investment if you need cash. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Love that. So, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor. Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high-pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now. All right, we're back. So let's, before we wrap this up, let's get a real life example of one of your clients and how they've used the whole life policy.
Goodness gracious. I have so many, right? But I would say a bunch of our clients we've actually done, man, I can, a lot of real estate deals, because what they've done is they use the dual asset strategy.
All right.
So we build up the whole life account. We identify a property that is going to be a buy right property. And then we utilize the cash to get some down payment. We rent it out. Profits roll in. We replenish the policy. We got money growing in both areas, and accessing that money, right? They didn't have to necessarily go to get a loan and go through the hoops of loan officers. So easy, right?
They had classic, to build it. Gino, it's the classic dual asset dance. You got, boom, right here. You got the policy. You got the property.
You're doing the Macarena, huh?
They take care of each other, baby. So no, I love it. So Devin, what's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
So my name is pretty unique, right? So David, so you can probably just Google me and I'll be likely be the one that
Davin.
Yeah. So you can do that. I mean, I'm accessible, phone, email. It's fine. We can maybe put that contact information in the show notes or anything like that. But I'm pretty accessible. So phone, email, easy. Look me up on social media. I'm around.
You know, take it home here. You're like Bill Walsh. You got the tree of success coming out from under you here from the restaurant. So
from a young 16-year-old, there we go. Sitting in the parking lot, dialing up digits, right? And
hitting,
I come out
chicks
and say, bro, what are you doing? It's Friday night. We got tables to bus. We got to clean.
Oh my gosh. That was it.
That was Regina right there.
Puts the phone in his pocket and goes, man, I can't believe this guy's yelling at me. You know what? This jerk. But he runs in there. He sees Ivana. And he's like, okay, Ivana, what tables you need? We got to go set that table. Done. Goes to college, becomes a martial artist, he goes to his brother. He says, hey, bro, I'm making a few bucks over here. What are you going to do with my money? And his brother says, give me the money. I'll put it away for you. He gets a phone call and says, I need some blood. And you're like, bro, what'd you do to me? I got to give blood. And he goes, don't worry, I've got you. And a couple of years later, all of a sudden he sees his policy starts growing. And his brother was right. And then he gets into the financial services industry. He starts impacting other people's lives. He sees the power
of what wealthy people are doing, whether it's bank-owned life insurance, corporate-owned life insurance, key-man, buy-sell agreements, or just wealthy individuals looking to park their money and utilize the dual asset strategy. And it's great that we have another young person on the show. When he was young, he started utilizing the strategy. You know, everyone says it's, you know, James Clear likes to say, Jake, most people wish they started sooner. Almost nobody wishes they started later. It's time to start. Start your personal financial engineering today and think about the next 20 to 30 years of your life.
You know, I can't tell you how many people I'm talking to who are 40, 50 and up saying, I wish I started earlier. I can't even count.
No regrets, folks. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, fellas. Have a great day.
Thanks, Davin. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. You guys are awesome.